Right, hello and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad gaming podcast, E3 special.
Woo!
Thank you. With me... Okay, that's enough. With me this week is John Jordan.
Hello!
And special guest star, Chris James.
Hello.
Who's this Chris James character then? Why is he so special?
Chris James is the managing director of Steel Media, which is our parent company. Okay. And so he's basically our boss.
For US listeners, that's CEO, as I had to explain today to someone.
He does love his titles.
I do, CEO.
COO as well?
CEO, MD, BA,
Prop.
MA.
That was a bit of a super bike going past. We're currently outside Bottle Rock in downtown LA.
We had our party here.
So we're about two or three blocks away from the LA Convention Center, which was where E3 was held. So I guess the first question to the panel.
It's not really a panel.
No, come on, let's have the illusion.
Two tiles.
Okay, well, what was the highlight of the show for people?
That's interesting.
Do I have to start?
Chris is thinking. Well, you're close
to start. Okay, right. I mean, I was obviously here. I was here from a horrible business perspective. I was quite. I actually thought the highlight for me was to start seeing more mobile presence there. I thought that we had a massive stand. We were a big Japanese publishing platform, and there was some Korean folk who we made. And I quite like seeing that. I quite like seeing this mobile stuff encroaching, because obviously it is the future and everything.
I mean, the problem is, E3 is still a show that's very much driven by the Call of Duties and the Resident Evils, and there's massive. Triple A, quadruple A, whatever you want to call them. I mean, that's kind of still the bread and butter for E3. So it's very hard for.
That was all a bit dull, wasn't it? I mean, I don't want to go too much over the question. I just think there wasn't much originality in that. It's all big sequels.
Well, it's all quite safe.
Tomb Raider looked good. Tomb Raider, that's one thing I still quite liked.
I mean, I think it's still for the general kind of gamers. You know, Halo 4. Okay, it's not. Not have the excitement of a Halo where you're kind of having breaking new franchise, but it's quite hard to do that, and it's getting harder. So it's fair enough that E3 is driven by those things, and it's kind of hard for mobile to compete. But
my favourite thing about Halo 4 is they had this like photo booth opportunity thing for Halo 4, and all it was basically a blue screen of carnage. You couldn't see anything of, and right at the top, about
that was huge,
20 feet up, was like the words Halo 4. So the only way you could possibly have told that photo had anything to do with Halo 4 would have been if you made the picture so big that you could hardly see yourself in it. It was rubbish. But yeah, I don't know. I saw some. There was a lot of shooting in the face games. The Wii U was quite nice. Some nice bits and pieces on that.
Yeah, the Wii U seemed good. I never actually got a chance to have a fiddle in the end, I didn't get a chance to play on the Wii U either. So it looked good, though.
I do kind of wonder. I mean, I guess it's difficult because the people we talk to, in the business sense, are more kind of on the mobile side. But I didn't really get the impression that everyone's like, "Oh, Wii U's amazing." I mean, I guess to a degree, it's kind of been announced and people have an idea what it is and what it isn't. But I didn't get the idea there's a massive groundswell of like, "Oh, this thing is going to completely change the universe," which obviously if there'd been a next PlayStation or an next Xbox.
The general opinion was it was a nice bit of hardware.
Yeah.
I think it'd be better if they do what everybody's been saying they should have done in the first place and made the tablet more of a take-awayable thing. It still feels like it's kind of only really works properly with the console itself.
Yeah.
Or someone told me an interesting idea today that actually they can reveal in like 2 months' time that the consoles actually exist, and it is just
it's just a tablet.
It is just a tablet, and that's all there is to it. Which could be quite a bit of good.
I think that's barely unlikely.
That is almost certainly a lie. But
it is. But definitely, I mean, that tablet play. You kind of think maybe if not a launch, you know, that you can imagine that Nintendo could, in 2 years' time, have a kind of, you know, update their tablet. You buy a different, another tablet that is more like, you know. And certainly we're seeing stuff like, you know, a new iPad every year, and we're going to see like a new Kindle. So it potentially gives them the opportunity to kind of get into that space.
But they should do it. I mean, imagine how much is the Wii U going to be? Does they have announced any price?
I'm not sure. Yeah.
It's going to be cheaper than an iPad, isn't it? Let's face it, probably. Yeah. The whole Wii U is cheaper than an iPad. So they could make those tablets that, you know, half decent gaming tablet that's like a couple hundred dollars. Yeah. I don't know, there's something there. There's a whole kind of market. That's what Amazon have done with the Kindle Fire. So I think that's
it still plays into this whole thing that for some reason Nintendo won't go on mobile platforms. The reason is obviously there isn't a Nintendo phone. So I mean, it makes sense that Nintendo goes, we will never publish our games on someone else's
platform. But they make hardware, why don't they make a phone?
So that's the other thing, is why don't they make a phone? And obviously they've looked at it.
Apple did it, see how easy it is.
Exactly. But I was kind of, we actually, on Business Week, we had like an opinion piece about the Nintendo phone and kind of the arguments around it. And actually, I think if they did do it, you know, it would never be someone's primary phone unless you were maybe like 13, but it would be a phone I think a lot of people would buy. If it was a Nintendo phone.
Yeah.
I think people would have to have an iPhone and a Nintendo phone, because the content you would get on a Nintendo phone.
I think it was interesting just because Nintendo's much more, I think Nintendo's much more well regarded in the US than it is, say, in Europe. Because the people in the conference for the Wii U, they were the loudest, easily the loudest of the whoopers.
Yeah.
Nintendo always gets more whooping.
Yeah.
I know, that's what I mean. It's very popular.
But it's more of a polarising fanboyism thing.
Everyone grew up with Nintendo, so.
I didn't. I grew up with Spectrum.
But in America.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. So the highlights of the show for you guys are very vague.
No, not really.
I did sit in a lot of meeting rooms. I did see some stuff I can't talk about, which is disappointing.
Oh, you're not good for the podcast. Indiscreet. Indiscreet, Chris.
I'm not drunk,
man. No one's listening.
No one listens.
That's what I've heard.
I have to say, I wouldn't say this is my highlight, but I'm holding a little kind of die in my hand.
He is, listeners.
You can look at it. And it's too small to be a highlight, but I think it's kind of systemic of a larger change that's happening. And it's this Polish company who are doing, this is coming out kind of fall Christmas time or autumn Christmas time, and it's a Bluetooth dice that you use potentially for any kind of RPG board type games, and you kind of has like an accelerometer in it, and it has a magnometer in it, and it has some sort of kind of sensor.
Magnometer, that's just made
not
up
magnometer.
Words.
What is it?
Accelerometer, gyro.
No. What about the magnetic field of the Earth? It's a magnet something or other. Anyway,
a Magnus magnometer.
Yeah. Anyway, and basically it's kind of this idea that we're kind of like playing a lot of kind of games on touchscreen, but it's not really tactile. I mean, if we're playing like us three in a game and you're just like pressing a button to roll a dice, but if we all had our own dice, then I think that's kind of part of a broader scheme where we're seeing kind of tablets, just the different, these kind of different companies, the things they can do now with tablets.
Well, we saw the Myco guys, yeah, you know, with the game controllers for tablets.
We've seen two companies announce. I mean, it's not. Yeah, there's been kind of hacks of Bluetooth kind of wireless controllers that work with that, normally with Android, but now we're seeing that this Christmas there'll be at least two, you know, fairly large peripheral companies doing this kind of stuff, and obviously there's OnLive and
the Z-Mote's still going.
The Z-Mote's still going. It's kind of hard to say it's a massive headline, but I kind of think we're just slowly seeing, particularly I think on the tablet, lots of developers focusing pretty much just on tablet. It's almost like a console replacement, and I think. We saw about the first signs of it at this E3, but every year I think we're going to see more and more of that.
Do you know what actually was my highlight? Apart from our party, which was very, very good and had all the mobile people in the industry,
including
all the lots of Apple folk actually here, who were never at a show, but they were here at ours. But no, what was, although it wasn't really visible from the show floor, which is all big, I'll show off
loud,
my big console release. Everybody was talking mobile. Everybody that I spoke to had mobile products.
A lot of them had quite a lot.
And I went to see Sega, had a really good chat with Sega, and they had a lot of really, really cool stuff lined up that I can't tell anybody about. But they were great. And there were some companies we'd never heard of that came and was suddenly massive companies. And we saw a company called WeMade.
Yeah.
And we kind of had no, but not really. But they've they were talking about the whole strategy moving from being a big PC company
it's
totally mobile.
I mean, we've definitely seen it in some of those big Asian, particularly, I mean, Korean in this case, and we've had kind of Nexon, who are kind of, you know, massive online company, and they're always going to be big online, but they're heavily going to mobile, and kind of we made are a slightly smaller company. They're still like $100 million turnover a year, free-to-play PC game, don't quote us on this, but they pretty much said, our entire focus now, everything we do going forward, is all about online, mobile, iOS and Android. And they actually...
Exactly. They said don't quote us on that, so you know, just quote them.
You can't quote me on that.
Don't quote John on not quoting them.
But, well, that's a double negative. That's
quite... And actually, it's kind of... You know, often sometimes we see these kind of people coming from the PC space, and the games are kind of like, a little bit PC-like. But actually, yeah, their games were... You know, they got 20 games coming out this year. We saw the first 8. And some of them you would say were a bit Korean, a bit kind of like play versus player, and maybe some odd gameplay in there. But some, I mean, graphically, they were pretty impressive. There's a couple that could really kind of
the production values of mobile content is just so high now.
What was your highlight?
You haven't said what your highlight was. You like the Vita games, didn't you?
I did. There was actually quite a few deep ones. It's not really suitable for an iPhone.
The iPhone podcast.
Gaming podcast. But
no, Pocket Gamer, we cover that.
Not the podcast. Chris is showing his lack of knowledge of the podcast.
You listen to it every week.
What is this podcast? I don't know. Who are you people? It's relevant. It's relevant. Because when it dies, because they get all that PS Vita content available on phones at some point, because PS Vita is finished, let's face it. It's quite low to go. It's not selling anything, so...
Well, I did see quite a lot of really good, interesting PS Vita games that could work very well as smartphone games.
Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Is that how you tie it back in?
Yeah. So, I mean, I saw Ogra Rhythm today, which is touchscreen only.
Oh, is
so
it?
So it absolutely didn't need the Vita at all.
That's interesting. So obviously they've made that with Sony tablets in mind.
I've got a suspicion they're thinking it's an exclusive for now, but that's very good, very interesting, sort of unique RTS with rhythm action, so every command is with the beat.
Yeah.
It's very, very interesting. You sort of get, it's the weird thing, because the two Vita games that really stood out for me, other than Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation, which I thought looked amazing, but that was because it was a console game on a portable, really was.
Yeah.
But the other two Vita games that stood out were Ogre Rhythm and Sound Shapes, and both of them could easily be done as a smartphone game. But that was because the music and the rhythm blended with the action on screen, so to the point where you're drawn into the action so much more than just like when you've got a background sound, like, you know, sound effects. It sort of incorporated so much more of the senses, so you actually sort of lost where you were in time and space. You were just all in the game.
Existential. Existential experience, you say.
Yeah, you forget that you're in a busy conference with, like, sweaty people trying to push fast, going like...
I mean, it's kind of interesting that I've been to E3 for a long, long time, and Chris has been, you know, fairly long time as well. But Will, is it your first time at E3?
You're an E3 virgin.
So just not anymore, clearly,
I've been sullied.
But just talking about the...
There's a hollow look in his eye. He looks spent.
But obviously, you know, most of the listeners won't have gone to E3, so...
That's not related to the...
How did the size and the scale and the people and the noise and...
I didn't find it...
You're a man of the world, obviously, but...
It was fine. I mean, like, it was pretty much... I mean, I've been to Gamescom, and it's just like a bigger scale Gamescom. I mean...
He's hard to impress.
But it's fair to say that the Gamescom has more people at it. I mean, Gamescom has more people, more halls, it's a bigger show.
Gamescom does feel a lot more constrained.
I mean, Gamescom, which is the big, it's the German kind of show.
It's coming up in a couple of months.
But I mean, it's a bit different because Gamescom is a public show, so anyone can buy a ticket. Whereas E3 is you have to be in the games industry, you have to be a journalist or someone who works for a company or a retailer to get in. So it has a
less of shoving and pushing. Although it's quite funny, like if you didn't have like a meeting with the companies, the queues, people were just sort of like they were dying in queues,
What were the big queues? So I was amazed that people will stand in a queue for 2 hours to see a video presentation of Halo 4 or Spec Ops 2. Unbelievable, isn't
it? It's also hilarious because like for the PS Vita version of the PS Vita version of Assassin's Creed. I just, yeah. You know, I just asked Ubi if I could see it, and like, no one was cared about it because it was a console game. Yeah. So I just went straight through, like, skipped the queue.
Although
like,
I get
mobile games as well. Like all the console people, they didn't really understand all that.
I have to say, it was quite so. On the mobile side, the two big stands this year were Gree, which is obviously we discussed as a really big Japanese company, and very nicely done stand.
Very white.
Kind of
really nice, like cushiony.
It's like carpet. Lovely carpet.
Shag pile. I had a little lie down there one point. I got moved along.
Really nice.
And it was kind of, you know,
like I was springing on it. Like I could jump 100 metres in the air.
Yeah, but you couldn't.
No. Moving on.
I tried.
That was like a very, like a typical kind of big stand, and it had like the big kind of game characters and kind of, you
I
know,
think, the, I think it's
kind
interesting.
Of the girls someone, dressed up in the costumes, all that
kind of stuff. Because I hadn't been to E3 before, yeah. But someone told me that the Greece stands is actually where THQ used to have their stands. Yeah. So there is a sort of like
passing on the
band. Can I little tell you a story? I went to see some business meetings up at the top, and in the much less interesting business rooms, there's no noise and no music, and it's all very muted. There's just lots of people sat around quietly being serious and
making money.
Just talking about the money. And you get this glazed view.
Oh, so you can look in, can't you?
You can look over. So the same people are looking over their stand, watching what's going on, but you can't hear a thing because it's all kind of glazed out. But across from Sega was THQ, and they had these big signs, and around all the entrances, it seems to be every entrance, and on the signs said "exit only."
Yeah.
And I thought how oddly appropriate that is. I was trying to take a photo, but they were kind of looking at me kind of funny every time I tried to. I thought it was a bit bad taste.
Well, and it's kind of bad, you know. THQ had a thriving mobile business, and they sold it off.
It down more than sold it off.
But the other interesting thing was, so this new company we've been talking about, or not new, but this new into mobile, this Korean company we made.
Thank you very much.
They were very clever on their stand, so they had six playable games. And normally, you know, as we kind of said, people are queuing up to play, you know, Borderlands 2 or something like that.
Yeah.
And mobile games, it's kind of hard to get people to play them, even though these were all on iPads. The cunning scheme they had was you could to win like a Wiimade t-shirt, and they had this kind of like fluff, so their logo is almost like, I don't quite know what
it's like, an amorphous blob, which I have two.
So it's a thing with like two arms and two legs and no head almost, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and it's very green, but it has like stickers. So they had these kind of like plushy versions of this logo thing, and to get them and the t-shirt, you had to go round and play every game, and you were given a card, and you had to get stickers. You had to get stickers from the girls.
I don't know. That was really clever. People
were loving it.
People love getting free stuff. I know, but
even though it's really
free stuff.
What free stuff did you get?
I got a pen.
Oh, you got a pen.
I got a pen.
I got Vegemite.
Yeah, I got a quotation keyring from Gameloft.
You got the worst freebie ever.
I basically
Gameloft, shame on you, Gameloft. What is that?
They were embarrassed about giving it to me.
It's basically a keyring. It's like
if I drop it off the boat, it will float, so I can then pick up my keys.
Oh, your keyring?
Because
okay.
I have a boat.
Well, how are you going to get the keys? I'll just float away. That's the point. But you kind of, you know that you used to get those things. They used to give away T-shirts that you'd add water to, and it looked like one of those, but it wasn't. It was just a little foam fish or something.
But it's
the shark, isn't it? It's from Shark Dash.
To be fair, to like Gameloft, they had a couple of good games out.
Original titles.
Yeah.
Amazing. Is it original IP?
Don't be controversial, Chris James.
Sorry, I'm not allowed to say that.
Well, they had The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Film
That's
time.
Not theirs.
Yeah. No, they made it.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. It's open world, sort of Batman, Arkham City style.
They make good games. I'm not just.
Well, they had a few rubbishy freemium things.
Just not.
They were a little bit embarrassed about showing me. Actually, there was a sort of like a. Well, we know that you know how these games go, and I was like, yeah, I know how these games go.
That's interesting.
So, but they also had Asphalt 7, which I thought looked pretty good. Actually, I mean, they've really nailed the drift on it.
Asphalt's a good racist.
I guess we have to say we saw a lot of the kind of EA had showed their mobile things show floor, but we played, well, I didn't play, but we saw FIFA 13.
Well, I played FIFA 13.
I did play a little bit, but I don't really know FIFA, so I was
I played the new the Most Wanted, the new Need for Speed.
Yeah, that was good, actually. I
was the second.
Criteria. things.
Second, no, but this is the EA Mobile's one.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. I had the second fastest time out of everyone, including the developers.
And what did you win again?
What did you win? What did you
I didn't win
the winner
anything.
Got a Porsche.
It's just that I finished
you got a keyring to stick in your phone.
They hadn't balanced the difficulty yet, so I was third, and I came away. I went to the guy there. I went, oh, I did really well there, and I'm third. Yeah. And then he sort of paused for a few seconds and went, that's a really good time. That is a really good. I was sitting there going, yeah, but I was third.
Yeah.
I wasn't first.
Two seconds.
It's getting worse. We could be
AI.
But did you finish in the top 10?
No, but he said to me that.
Oh, so you're the third human player.
No, but he said that like they made the demo so that it was always so you had cars around you basically.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So you couldn't win on the demo that they were showing.
But I have to say, I mean, graphically it's pretty impressive. They got the damage was very good.
The handling was excellent. I think it's going to be a really good, really close matchup between.
It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because obviously Need for Speed didn't come out last year. So
did you notice though? You only got one car in the demo we played, yeah. And it was a Porsche 911.
The Boxer, wasn't it?
Yeah, 911. New one. New version of it, even. So, but the hilarious thing was that, like, the number plate has burnout, and I went to him. I noticed the number plate, good in joke, and they went, actually, Criterion asked us to put that in.
All right.
So I mean, like, it's good. So yeah,
so there's a battle of the races coming up then. It's Asphalt versus.
It's going to be a tight one actually, to be honest. Because both of them are looking.
What's happened?
Good.
This is completely outside line. What's happened with real racing? Now since Fireman's been taken over,
I bet you they're going to be employed for the next shift.
They'll do the next
one. You know, like the serious.
They'll do the night shift. You think?
Well, etc. I also saw another game I thought was very impressive was and I've written up a preview. Okay. Actually, I've got two from the first day. Infinity Blade Dungeons.
Oh, you saw that?
You were really going on about.
You said that was
really good. I really enjoyed.
I've heard
that.
Good things about
that. So it's like all the graphics and there's actually a game behind it. Sort
of thing. Oh no, they know their game. Like it's kind of crazy. Like there's so many console developers go into it and then put virtual sticks on their games.
Yeah.
And like they have the graphics, they don't have the gameplay. And like remember that Infinity Blade, the last two were made by Chair, which they're owned by Epic. I mean, like Epic had a big input, but this is the first one from Epic themselves, and they have. Their artists are all from Gears of War. Mm. Their development team are like they're the Gears of War development team essentially. Yeah, yeah. So you've got great graphics, but the actual controls are very sort of they know what they're doing when it comes to touchscreens. There's no virtual buttons. There's no it's all gesture based. It's all very intuitive, and it's all very sort of like if you want to do a spin attack, you circle around your character, and it's like a very clever. And also the actual you can tell you can tell why it's not called Infinity Blade 3, not just because of the viewpoint, but because of the focus of it. It's very much more of a serious game. Like, you have, like, loads of equipment screens, loads of stats. It's like Diablo,
RPG.
It's much more hardcore RPG, action RPG. It was really good. I came away from that, and I was genuinely impressed. Really good game. Hmm. Really looking forward to playing it.
Cool.
What other ones were there? Oh, Magic the Gathering as well. I mean, it's been a long time.
Okay. Hmm.
It's hardcore as hell, but actually, I don't understand why they've taken so long to bring it across to iPad, because it is, while they've been dilly-dallying, there's been games like Ascension.
There's been a lot of people in that space.
A lot of people moved to take it. But the good thing for the Magic is that they're using 2013 as their starting point. In 2013, because I played the last 2 years worth of Magic on console and PC, and 2013 is the most user-friendly of them all. They've got beginner guides, tutorials, they recommend cards, they explain why they're recommending it, they have really nicely presented UIs to make sure everyone who plays it, you don't have to be a Magic nerd to understand what's going on. And it's really... playing on the iPad, it just feels so much better than playing on a joypad, because there's that tactile element of dragging cards into play. And I'm cautiously optimistic that it'll be a really good game.
What would Chilingo? I didn't get to see Chilingo.
Chilingo had releases.
They had some good stuff, but it's kind of like you chat to these guys and you go, when the game's coming out, and they go, tomorrow. So there's one called Catapult Kings, which is really like, I guess,
3D Angry
you say Angry, 3D Angry, but it's really nicely done.
And Kinect as well. I saw a Catapult, something called
Catapult. No. So, and that was a really...
Witch Haven, maybe?
No, it's WW. But it's really, really great physics, and then I was like, using box... 2D or something. Oh, stupid question, yeah, yeah, 3D, but no, they coded it all themselves, and it's like their first big game.
The other one as well was Tiny Troopers, which was also out.
Tiny Troopers.
And which is it's like a touchscreen cannon fodder.
They said cannon fodder was their big inspiration.
I started playing that game, and then all the developers like sat around and went like, "Oh, you're very good." And I was like,
"Well, you know, they didn't hear it, mate. They didn't hear it."
You know, and also like loads of attractive women just started like falling over.
Can I go back to the highlights? There were a lot of attractive women there.
I thought there seems to be a bit of furore
about how people can't talk about the booth babes, which I think is very, it's very
the subject.
The journalists are getting very po-faced at the moment. Oh, it's raw, it's terrible, they're all women and standing next to the events.
To be fair, Chris, these are kind of models or pseudo models who are basically paid to wear skimpy bikinis and have big ugly men put their arm around them and have their photo taken next to them.
How has that ever changed since the dawn of the video games?
There was as many cars in this in E3 as there were models.
There were like ten cars and about 500 models and cars.
Yeah, well, there was also a plane. There was a plane.
It wasn't a proper plane.
Was it not?
Not a proper plane. It was a mock-up of a P-51D Mustang, but it wasn't a proper one.
But that wasn't a mobile game.
John is actually a bit of a plane buff.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a bit anal about it.
He's a rocket scientist. People know I talk this.
I've got a degree in aeronautics.
He's got a first class honours degree in aeronautics, which prepared him ideally to write about mobile games.
There's some other games.
Was that stuff you saw, the Mech Warrior, allowed to talk about or not really?
I'm not a big beat 'em up fan, but both me and Will played Street Fighter versus Tekken Mobile, which is not. They kind of put together, Capcom put together like an E3 demo, so it wasn't. It had a big kind of disclaimer saying this is not the version, it may change. I think actually it said.
The
retail version may greatly change or significantly change. Really big letters, but as I say, so Will was moaning that it wasn't 60 frames a second, but I was playing it. And I quite enjoyed it, and I think that they would say it's only maybe one game mode, because basically you were playing with like a main character and a sub character, and you could swap the sub character in to let the main character kind of recharge, and you could like sacrifice the sub character to boost your main character, and they kind of went into an altered state. Obviously I'm rubbish at these kind of fighter games, so I played it three or four times and lost the bouts every time. I won individual rounds.
Will's cheating now, so we're reeling off our memories from the show. Will's gone through his little book.
Gone through his notepad.
Yeah. Packed full of numbers. Mainly about releases. Look at my notes.
Break up Tower Defense.
It's got an arrow.
Arrows coming out.
It's got the word Field Runners 2 written quite high.
Field Runners 2.
I heard a lot of good things about Field Runners 2. Something else is raving to me about that. Jeff from Warframe Apps is very, very keen on that. One of the Alliance members, Jeff Warframe.
It's been a long time since Field Runners came out.
4 years. Okay.
It's not quite. It's three.
Definitely three years.
But I remember when Field Runners came out, it was at E3. And the first time I met the developers, they were standing outside E3 with like they had like the little soldier figures cut out. And they were like posing for photos.
He was saying to me that like they got chased off by about five times by security guards.
Kind of guerrilla marketing.
Well, to be fair, they didn't have a stand. They didn't have a presence here. I met him who did I meet? It was the. I think it was the chief engineer, but I met him in the corridor and we just basically chatted sitting down on the carpet, you know. Mm. Field Runners 2, it's looking really smart. I mean, it's obvious that they've paid a lot of attention to detail. They was telling me that they spent 2 months on each level, balancing, drawing, making sure everything was absolutely perfect.
So is it pretty much ready to go then, is it?
Yeah, it's out. When is it out?
He's consulting the notes.
It's like spiders.
A spider walked across his notepad.
End of June. It's impressive. They've employed an AI system where every single individual unit knows where the other one is. So you'll see a group of soldiers come in, but if there's one close to them, they'll split slightly.
Okay.
So like you'll see them all. They run really naturally now. Okay. So like they all sort of group up. And they've got like a little arrow guide showing you their route. And some levels they don't actually it's not like the original where it's like 50 billion waves. Mm. There's different missions, different times of mode, different types of units, of course. Your towers are still there, but it looks very slick. You've got different height maps as well. It's 2D, but it's 3D. So you get people going down through tunnels.
I think it'd be really interesting because when they came out, it was very early in the App Store days. They really nailed it. Did millions and millions of downloads at quite a high kind of like $3 or something when they came out. And they've left it a long time now. It'd be interesting to see whether that still cachet of the name is still there, and they can still kind of hook
they're
into
really
that.
Sort of. I asked them if they were sort of a bit nervous or excited about launching because of all the changing things, and they're very aware of how the landscape's changed, but they're still very much they sort of assured me that they're not going for that sort of they said that he feels there's too many non-gamer games in the sense of that they've made it for people who don't game at all, so it's appealing for the lowest denominator.
I think that's the sign of this very, very, very young business of ours, growing up, or our young hobby of ours, whatever. I mean, we have... There seems to be a lot more people entering the games for gamers space of this. In the last kind of few weeks or months, I've spoken to and just people who are kind of come back making premium games again, because obviously this last year has all been about freemium and how we get a game for nothing and it'll probably be crap. And no, that's a bit harsh. But it's a different mechanic, it's very casual, whereas now it's a definite... I guess it's because the console guys are coming into it.
No, definitely.
As well. But there's definitely people, ex-console, studios showing down that want to bring those real gaming
and games. I definitely think that's kind of really locked it, again, I've said it before, kind of locked into the kind of the tablet where people are going, well, if people are buying like an iPad now, you know, when it first came out, it was kind of older kind of people, maybe kind of, you know, late 30s, 40s, who had disposable money and were using it maybe to read newspapers or kind of stream stuff. And they're now, like, you know, people have an iPad pretty much as a console on the go. And yet, as you said, I mean, it's kind of, I had an interview with one of the co-funders of Bungie Studios, you know, and his new game, they're called Industrial Toys. And they're like announcing sci-fi first-person shooter. I mean, kind of expect that from them. Announcement's coming out in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, and you're saying, oh, the focus. You know, we're not doing one game. This is like the start of a kind of universe franchise. It's like, you know, they're going to do the next Halo on iPad. You know?
Next Halo on iPad.
Well, no,
you heard it here first.
Not the next Halo.
Is that another quote?
That is. A quote.
Do you not hear my fingers?
Oh, sorry.
The next Halo.
Not. He means not Halo, but Halo-esque.
I mean, the person who part invented Halo, his next game in the Halo type universe.
But not the Halo
not
universe.
Not the universe.
But no, it's interesting you mentioned about people buying iPads for kind of like reading newspapers on and hardcore gaming. Because wouldn't it be good if there's something that could combine,
combine gaming, the two things? Like a gaming magazine.
Wouldn't it be good if there was a phenomenal... Exactly.
That sounds like magic.
I wish someone would make something that's kind of interactive great and combines your good reviews.
You know what I would like? Is if it had reviews from all these various other respectable
sites. Well, the leading independent sites were.
Yeah, like 148 Apps.
Surely that would never happen.
No, no, way. No way would that happen. I guess we'd better swipe that aside.
Oh! That's good. That is talking the best things we've seen in the week. Actually, when is this coming out?
It's going out tomorrow, probably. Yeah.
So you get a sneak preview of something that's not being announced on Monday, though. But have we talked about swipe?
We haven't.
God, well, so I think this is a sneak preview. We have we're launching a brand new digital magazine called Swipe Magazine, and that's
how's it spelled?
Swipe. That's SWIPE.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean?
Who are you spelling it?
Oh, I was spelling it with a Y.
There's no Y.
It's trendy.
Oh, swipey.
You mean like the Y? They're using the Y phone.
Yeah.
Genius.
It's calling the rush hour beers and wines. Do you want to do any more rush hour? Or are we happy?
And it's good. It's coming out. It's just an iPad magazine. Is it just for iPad?
No, it's iPad and iPhone.
Oh, is it iPhone?
We've got the iPad version will coming out on Monday. In fact, the iPhone
Monday
the
11th.
iPad version Monday 11th will be available. Totally free. It's full of interactive stuff. It's got an exclusive content on Rovio's new game, Amazing Alex, which you won't see anywhere else, popping that mag. So it's going to be to download it on its own. But there's loads of other cool stuff.
Personally,
in there.
I love the interactive elements. The fact that you put in a coin to find out the scores of various different sites, including the QI ratings.
There you go. It's
that, because quality index.
There's lots of swiping.
There's lots of swiping. Yeah, we'll stop plugging that. But we're really proud of it. Actually, I am really proud of it. Anyway.
It's really good. Genuinely.
So check it out. Look for it on Monday, and then there'll be an iPhone version, which will be. We'll have as much as we can possibly cram in from the iPad version, which will be coming out within a week or so afterwards.
And like we said, it's not just Pocket Gamer. It's lots of different major
Slice Play, 1-4-8 apps, Touch Gen. App Spy,
the App Era.
The App Era in there, yes. Oh God, now I don't mention
the App Era, I guess.
If I don't mention anybody else, it'll be terrible. But there are about 15 sites that contribute to this first episode. But yeah, so that's coming out on Monday. But lots of people love that. We've been showing it to people for the first time on the show, and touch wood or touch stone as I'm touching.
Concrete.
That's a visual gag. We've got a really good response, so look out for it and let us know what you think. Moving on. Stop plugging, Chris. I'm only here to plug.
I guess my final question for the podcast would be, what would you guys want to see for the next E3? I mean, what would be your dream thing for the next E3, and what would be your expectations, as in the reality crushing?
I think basically the era of consoles has reached its peak now. I think we're all we're going to see is going to be like the movie industry, kind of to an extent. It's going to be a period of kind of plateauing and flatlining. I think that
it's already declining. The
revenue's already declining. I think the creativity. It's like you get more and more beautiful pixels, beautiful textured ways of shooting people in the face. I think that whole thing has kind of reached a peak amount. So I think next year I will be amazed if we don't see a lot more. Mobile and tablet content. I think next year will be dominated by more pure digital content, and it'll be less retail is obviously less and less important. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see another. I mean, I'm kind of coining the phrase that this is the rather than next gen, this is last gen console. I don't think the Wii U is kind of different enough. It's going to be interesting enough. Xbox 720, but it was supposed to be here now, and it isn't.
No, but it's definitely coming.
It's definitely coming.
Beyond that, maybe they'll add something. But beyond that, everything that Microsoft was showing this year that was interesting was all about multi device. It was the smart glasses, smart screen. It was combining your tablet and your phone and your TV. And you just, I think the dawn of this kind of ghetto-wise console that runs everything is coming kind of to an end. So yeah. I think I'd like to see, and what I expect to see next year, is mobile taking over a lot more, and being a lot more mobile, a lot more digital.
I think it's definitely the case that the next, this time next year there'll be another iPhone, there'll be another iPad out. Yeah. So clearly we're going to see,
ITV as well. As in Apple TV.
Maybe Apple TV. We're
hoping to see that next week, aren't we?
We're not expecting that next week.
We're not going to see it, but we might hear about it.
In terms of kind of E3, I definitely think there's going to be a lot more kind of. I think no one's going to really do iPhone stuff. There's going to be iPads are going to be there. They're going to be probably hooked up to still be plasma TVs and stuff. But we're going to see more mobile companies. So this year we've had kind of a two. So we've had Gree, obviously going to be still be kind of back again. And we've had the kind of WeMade are going to be there. But it's also, I think we're going to see EA are going to start putting stuff like FIFA 13 on iPad on their main stand. You're going to see this from all the publishers are going to be kind of trying to doing a push in that direction. Yeah. And I think it'd be interesting. I think fundamentally it will slightly change E3, where we've had these big stands and everything's loud and in your face, and I kind of think maybe they will have to redesign how they do stands. It'd be a bit more like you have
more pods.
You've got kind of cubicles and you have your own space.
But you could almost be like downloading demos to your phone.
Exactly. So
I think it'd be. I agree with you. I think. In a way, it's totally like, I think the console business has become, it always wanted to be the film industry, and it kind of has become what it wanted to be. And it's all about these stupidly massive budgets and incredible pressure and having to push and having to make such much of a fuss to try and market around that they need these these big Shaft stands, and the stands are impressive, you know.
But it's definitely the case that E3 is going to change. So it's almost like as the console business has peaked, kind of E3 has peaked, and it's kind of interesting. Like Activision's stand this year, as it has done in previous years, basically the Activision stand is like one of the largest screens they can put together, showing pre-rendered footage, and then maybe if you Unless you're allowed backstage to play some of these games or some content for these games, you're basically just looking at a big screen and looking at amazing footage, you know. And that's a very showy thing, and I think it's going to start to break down a bit more. So there will be a bit more kind of the stands will get smaller, there'll be a bit more maybe kind of some of these scrappier companies. But equally, you know, there's a lot of money in the mobile space, so I think we're going to see maybe slightly smaller stands and a bit more kind of focused on more about games and rather than than the marketing around them, which you know. The next Call of Duty obviously gets massive marketing around it.
But if you do that,
a very creative game in terms of the game experience.
No, of course. But if you do that, you're going to see a lot more. I mean, the thing about mobile games is there's a lot more of them as well. Like, there's like everybody we've seen, or most people we've seen, have got like roadmaps of 10 or 20 games. And there's a lot of those companies now where it's like, you know, the big console guys are focusing on one or two releases because it's tough to make those games. So yeah, I think we'll see. There's a lot more games, a lot more creativity. It would be great if E3 could kind of harness as well a bit of that, smaller scale kind of, not indie's not the right word, but I guess it is kind of that small developer publisher spirit. I mean, that's not what it's for.
No. But I do think, going back to E3 does have to change. When you have a company like Rovio, which is clearly...
They're
not here at all. So, there are people from Rovio here. They have like hotel rooms for meetings and stuff. But clearly, a massive company, 300 people. You know, that's a large studio at any measure. You know, massively profitable.
It's the biggest selling game in the world.
And they don't have a presence at E3. And they're not doing it because it's not good for their business. But for E3 to continue for the next 10 years, they have to become open. That they have to go. Rovio is massively profitable. How come they're not showing at they're not showing at E3? So that's. It's going to be, I think it's going to be quite a bit of change. Maybe, will it be next year? Will it be in 3 years' time? I don't know. But equally, I reckon
next year, everyone will be so excited about the next generation consoles.
It could be again, yeah.
Everyone will then say, mobile, tablets.
Do you think it'll be 720p PS4 next year?
And then everyone will be back to normal, like, oh, don't worry, everything's fine. But I think it's the same.
We've seen it with Microsoft. You know, we've seen obviously Sony Mobile as well. You know, these guys, you know, they used to only be able to focus on console, and the next console round is not going to be as profitable for them. Yeah. So immediately immediately they're going to be doing stuff like, next year Microsoft are going to have the Windows 8 tablets. You know, that's going to be certainly going to be part of that consumer mix.
Yeah.
So the whole thing's going to become much more kind of subtle and shades of grey.
But Microsoft's gaming experience is going to be all about Windows 8. I mean, Xbox will be a brand within it, but
yeah.
Microsoft as a whole will be Windows 8 cross-platform experiences, isn't it? I mean, it's going to be a whole different thing. I'm sure
LA will still be very sunny, though. It's been a very sunny week.
It has been absolutely gorgeous. It's been really, really lovely.
Will's ears are a bit red on one side there.
Not really.
It's a bit red. Chris is a bit
red. I'm quite red. I didn't put on any sunscreen last couple of days. But
so it has been a thoroughly enjoyable experience.
It has, and we're all now preparing for another week. Apart from Will's going home, of course. Thank you very much. We're just getting we're sitting here getting our drinks. Pina coladas
around.
Thanks for the champagne.
That's all right. That's the sort of guy I am. But whilst we say goodbye to LA shortly, we are going to be off to San Francisco.
Yeah, who are you guys?
You were invited. You decided to. Will declined. He's coming home to work. Can you hear that? Can you see the smallest file in the world is playing just for Will Wilson?
He's playing a jig.
It is. You're quite happy to be going back. But we're going to have a couple of days break and then we're going to be back. Reporting on.
We're going to be down with Tim and his lads.
Yeah, discussing about all the all things iPhone and iOS coming out of WWDC.
Have you given him a meeting? Because I mean, he keeps calling. It's really kind of annoying.
It's embarrassing.
Really.
It's embarrassing. Yeah. He's trying very hard.
The problem is, it still comes up as Steve on my dialogue. I get confused. So is that wrong? I don't know. I've got to change. Yeah, I don't have the same relationship with him. No, we don't. we've got a lot of people to see next week. We've got a couple of parties again.
I guess the final question is what is everyone expecting next week? Next week, is it WWDC?
Yeah, on Monday. Monday's the keynote.
During the England France match. England France match.
Yes,
indeed. That's quite a niche.
That's soccer. Soccer for our
association soccer. Go Kings. That's my thing for the Americans.
So no, I mean it's difficult because with Apple, I mean literally no one knows. I always kind of think. You're better to underplay Apple. So obviously iOS 6 as an operating system is going to be announced and going to be available.
A new Mac one.
The problem is I've sat on these keynotes before, and actually a lot of the time is spent on Mac computers. It's like really tedious. I would be very surprised if there's much said about the TV. I would be very surprised if there's much said about
iPhone 5
because clearly iPhone 5 can't launch before iOS 6 is out, and obviously developers have had time with iOS 6 before the phone launches.
When's the usual slot? September, we have.
But the problem was last year they got pushed back because they had hardware problems, so it got late last year. So I think the big question is Apple going to decide that kind of. You know, the fall is when it launches the new iPhones, or is it going to switch back to the summer? So, I kind of the gut feeling. I've been talking to some people. I think the
iPhones will bring forward.
I think they're going to stick with like a full launch of iPhones. And then they're full iPhones, and then kind of like spring for iPads.
That's awesome for our English listeners.
John's gone native.
Yeah, he's already lives on American time in the UK.
But we're excited in the TV thing. We're launching a new website. Smart TV Radar. That'll be up next week. It's like a new little website. We're
another exclusive. It's podcast.
We should get Chris on more often.
He can't keep a secret, can he?
the less said about. Yeah, I won't say anything. We've got some other very exciting news from similar towns, but I can't share.
Oh, he's desperate to share.
I want to share, but we're going to be. Let's just say that we're going to be bigger in America this time next month than we are now.
Did we not pay for Will to return tickets? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Will is staying out here. He's not coming back. He's staying out. He's taken off
the weather's so good, you can just sleep on the streets here, apparently.
And on that bombshell, thank you very much for listening. We will be back next week, well, I will, and I'll be joined by my usual crew, except for John, who's be in San Francisco, I guess.
I will be in San Francisco. Okay, right.
Yes, so thank you very much. Yes. Thank you very much to John, and thank you very much, Chris.
Thanks, nice chatting to you.
Yeah. It's great chatting to you.
Fantastic. When I used to do this, we had little segments.
He's complaining now.
Artificially created segments. We used to make little show bits. Alex, when I used to do this about 4 years ago, Alex's dog came on and talked.
Chris is just joking because he knows that normally we have segments in the podcast, and this is a special one.
Okay.
So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.